Well, I guess it's not the time to say welcome. I need to do some more things. I'm still getting ready here. There are more things to do to prepare as one gets older. There, I think I'm close now. This past week has been one of those weeks. It's been one of those weeks like all other weeks, but it's been one of those weeks like no other week. Some of you were here Monday night, and Margaret and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and we had a wonderful time. I hope those that were visiting enjoyed it, but we certainly were blessed and want to express our thanks to all of those that helped celebrate that with us. It brings a person to reflect on their life, and that's part of what this 40-year anniversary was. Now, I said it's been a week like all other weeks. Well, what does that mean? You know, life goes on. Things happen in a week. You get up, you get tired, you get cranky, you have some good food, you have some not so good food. Thursday morning I woke up. If you can call it waking up, I was 5:30 or 6. It was early. And I had a very sharp pain right there. I'm pointing to the bottom of my throat, but only on one side. And when I swallowed, it hurt. And none of you have ever experienced that, right? And I thought, oh, no, not that word, not that word. Not that word either. And it hurt. And so I said, wow, what am I supposed to do? And I knew I was speaking in 2 days. And I immediately had two thoughts come to mind. One is, well, Lord, I guess you don't want me to talk. And two was, so what should I do? And so I went out and I put on something warmer, and because I felt just a little bit tight. So I put on something warmer, put another blanket on the bed, went back to sleep, immediately fell asleep again. And I didn't wake up until maybe 9:30 or something. I must have really gone deep. And I woke up and I swallowed and I didn't feel a knife. And I swallowed again, and it was still there, but I didn't feel a knife, and I had a little bit of a cough, and I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. And since then, it's actually gotten better. You might hear a little bit still in the voice, but so here we are. Well, I wish they all went like that. They didn't in my life. They don't always go like that. And I'm not telling you this story so that you necessarily are going to learn how to fight it off the next time you are up against that. I'm simply sharing this was something that happened this week. And I thank the Lord that I'm here to talk. And if I hear my voice go, I have water. Yes. I've been thinking, when have I been most alive? When are you most alive? Do you sometimes feel more alive than at other times? Yes? Yes, this does resonate with some people. There are times when you don't feel very alive. Okay. Well, when do you feel most alive? And I was trying to think of when I did, because, I mean, you know, this is a milestone. After 40 years of marriage, you get a free dinner, just for you to know. There actually is free dinner. You get one like that. So I don't know what will happen at our 50th, but at least for our 40th, we got a free dinner. Okay, but when do I feel most alive? And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe some of you have felt just after you run. Maybe during your running you feel kind of alive, but it's a different kind of alive than just after you've run. You feel this contented satisfaction that you've accomplished something. You actually didn't accomplish anything. You usually have just gotten back to where you started. But you feel like you've accomplished something. And you feel good. Don't you? How many runners are here? I haven't been running for a long time. It's been a decade. But I used to run a lot. Yes, walk. But I don't feel the same walking like I do when I used to run. There's a difference. Anyway, there was a feeling that you get at the end of that. Okay, well, when else do people feel most alive? And I was thinking, you know, sometimes, not always, but sometimes things will be just right. Maybe at a sunset. Maybe there'll be spray coming off some rocks below on the cliff, and you're watching the sunset at an ocean, and you'll be fortunate that there'll be a bunch of clouds that will be just right to diffuse the sun and do spectacular things. Surely you've seen a spectacular sunset, and it just literally takes you away. You cannot believe it. You go, What have I been missing all these, you know, I should move to the beach. You know, these people get to watch this every, well, they don't get to watch this every day, but there's just glory there. And if you know the Lord, it thrills you. You think, wow, I'm, you know, the one that made all this, and I'm related to Him. And I feel alive. And sometimes at dawn you might feel that, but I haven't had that many dawns where I felt that same kind of glory. Maybe it's because I'm tired when I wake up, or sometimes there's mist and cloud that covers everything. But sometimes, maybe a little more rare, dawn will bring a kind of excitement. That golden sun comes and it just paints streamers everywhere, and you're looking forward to the day and you feel alive. Sometimes husbands and wives feel really alive. I better not go there. Well, I can go there. It's actually in the Bible. Just before, just after. I don't know when is more alive. Sometimes savoring a meal, fine spices, strength-giving food. You just feel, as you're eating this meal, you just feel it ooze into you. It doesn't happen every time you eat. We eat out of habit. But sometimes the meal just, we say sometimes, hits the spot. You feel very alive. Sometimes people feel alive when they get a special rush. Special rush. Well, how do you get a special rush? There's some easy ways to do it. Find a 12-foot platform and jump into some water. It doesn't last long. It's a second, but you might feel a special rush. And I suppose people might feel that kind of a rush when they jump out of an airplane. You know, they jump out of an airplane, and I've never done that, and whoosh, and that might even last a few minutes. And I'll bet you they feel pretty alive. Yeah? Has anyone here ever jumped out of an airplane? There are a few airplane jumpers here. Wow. Did you feel alive?
Scared.
Well, we're getting to that. Hold on. Where is he going? Anyway, okay. Roller coasters. See, that's a tame way. A lot of people. You've never done a roller coaster? Wow. Okay. But roller coasters are machines where people will experience some of these rushes, and they go up and down, and they get a little scared, and they feel excited, and they feel alive, I guess. And I think little kids sometimes they start running around silly, and I think those kids are feeling alive. At least I think I remember that. I know as a parent, when the kids start running around silly, I don't feel alive at all. But I think they do. And they wonder, you know, how come parents are so dead and dull? And we're alive! And they're just thoroughly enjoying the moment. Okay. Now, sometimes things are mixed, and fear can make people feel alive. And sometimes people like the feeling of fear. That sounds crazy. But fear mixed with other feelings can be something that's memorable as you think back. For instance, were you ever in a summer thunderstorm where some lightning strikes nearby and just sets your adrenaline off and you're very scared, and at the same time, maybe you're with a wife or a beloved one, and you just feel good. You're alive. There's danger, but there's safety mixed together. I've often wondered what happens, like a policeman feels when he's walking into a situation and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Does he feel alive at that moment? He's fulfilling his calling. It might turn out to be totally ordinary, and probably 99 or 999 times out of 1,000 times it is. You know, your traffic cop stops somebody, walks up. Here's four reasons why the person was justified in driving too fast or through a red light. Writes them a ticket. Takes the bawling out. I mean, that's not very exciting, but he doesn't know it's going to go like that. And he knows that anything could happen. And he has to be prepared. And one out of those 1,000 times, something that they make movies out of can happen. And I think that keeps policemen feeling alive some of the times. Now, there are other kinds of feeling alive, and they don't all have to do with us. Sometimes helping somebody makes you feel alive. There is a special kind of satisfaction when you help someone and you see them succeed. Now, you might help someone get to a point and they get some recognition and they're up there and you know you helped them get to that point. Now they're on a platform getting some honor, and you're applauding and you just feel good. Yes, they made it. They did it. You know, it was a wonderful thing. I think doctors sometimes get to remember their calling. I mean, everything gets to be humdrum just day in, day out. But sometimes a doctor might have a patient who is restored, and the doctor watches that patient walk out the door. And they feel alive because of watching that patient walk out the door. They were part of that. Hmm. other things can make you feel alive. Sometimes you'll just see a splash of color and you feel alive. Art can do that. There was, I don't know if anyone knows what Black Tulip is, but there's a little painting on top of Black Tulip that was done by someone who is a, what's the word? I just dropped it. What? Well, yeah, it was a handicapped person. It was this particular... What? Yeah, I was talking about a bottle of wine. It's called Black Tulip. What? No, it wasn't autistic. It was... I can't hear now. So anyway, it doesn't matter. The person was severely handicapped, and they drew, and it was a mental handicap where you don't think the person is capable of doing much. And they did this fantastic painting, and you see it on this. It's just a burst of color that all hangs together, and it just evokes life. It feels alive. I don't know if this is good. How many feel alive when they're in church? Some people feel alive in church. Good. Some people... Some people are laughing. And that's okay. We're all laughing. And I think when you think about church buildings, why did they build those fantastic, tall, scary structures in Europe, you know, in the Middle Ages? And I think it was one way. Of course, it was trying to bring us a sense of sacred, of spirituality, of awe, of terror, of the divine to the building. And I think sometimes a person would just might feel alive there. Okay. What about the opposite? When do you feel unalive? The most unalive. Of course, we have a word dead, but it's hard to describe that because we're all alive. But we have something close. We have sleep. That's unalive, except I like it. So even though I like being alive, I also like sleep. Dead to the world. Sometimes you're just dead to the world, and I don't know if you feel good or bad, but you're not feeling alive. Now, there are some sad things here, and I hope I don't step on toes that hurt too badly. Depression. Some people go into serious, deep depression, and they do not feel alive at that point. You know, and I haven't gone through what I imagine deep depression to be, but that strikes me as being unalive. We all get depressed. There are times I'll have a week, and someday you'll just wake up and it just doesn't go at all, and hours will go by, and then you'll realize, you know, I guess I'm depressed. That happens. But there are levels of it, and it can go into serious depression. Disappointment. You might try something and fail, and you probably won't feel very alive at that point. You will feel, well, it can make you feel sick or ill. You don't feel alive. You plant a crop. It fails. I've not been a farmer, but I wouldn't be surprised if there have been times when a farmer feels unalive as he looks out at a burnt crop. How about panic? there are times when I have felt panic, pure, raw panic. I guess I felt alive, but I wasn't thinking about it, and I don't like the memory of the feeling. It was a very strong feeling. I know I was panicking because I drank a lot of water and couldn't quench my thirst. So obviously my body was doing something. Do you remember? She knows what I'm talking about. But we won't go into that. I lost my wife one day in southern Sudan in the forest. And I went back. I had to go. We had game meat, food down on the ground. I had to go back to get more people to carry this. It was beyond our capability. And while that happened, the sun went down, and I didn't realize. I'd never been in that forest. I'd been there a lot. I thought I knew it like the back of my hand, inside and out. It was all flat. There's trees, it's all flat. When I was walking in daylight, the openings, the way the different trees opened up, I knew where I was. Within a few miles of my house, I knew where I was. I went back, got some friends. I told them, hey, there's, you know, meat, want to come, split it up, share. Yes! All of a sudden, I had a group. We came back, but the sun went down, and it was dark. And I couldn't see where I was. And we walked probably close and went right by her, but I kept time, and I knew I was obviously way past her, and I was bringing water for her. And I was starting, I was just running out of water. I was scared because I thought, what if she starts walking? If she starts walking in the dark, she doesn't know this forest. It was the first time she'd been back there. This is where we used to live. And I thought, oh my goodness, she could walk and get turned around and go in the wrong direction. And where we were, there was 100 miles of nothing in one direction. In the other direction, she would have run into people. But she was still easily capable of walking off into nowhere. And so I went into panic. I thought, I've got to get to her before she starts walking. If she starts walking, we might never find her. And that just put me in a horrible panic. That was not fun. I'm still not decided if I felt alive or unalive. Pure terror. That's another step up. If you were on an airplane and you knew it was going to crash, you might hear screaming. Pure terror. How about pain? Pain can help us. You, in some ways, you're very alive. You're reminded that you're alive anyway. But long-term pain that doesn't go away and it's with you month after month after month. Horrible things. We do just about anything to avoid pain. Sorrow or sadness. I remember I got a call that told me that my father had died 2 weeks earlier. Out of the blue, unexpected. And the sorrow or sadness that I felt was totally overwhelming. Now, what about the pain of disappointing others, where you want to help and you fail, and you fail miserably? I'm going to read, you're wondering where this is going, I'm going to read a couple verses, because there's something else that goes with being unalive. It might be shame. That's what the glasses are for. Luke 15. You don't have to turn. Just listen. You know the story. The man says, I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I think he felt an over just a sense of shame that totally enveloped him. I don't think he felt alive at that point. I think he felt unalive. Ashamed to be who he was. He was feeling sin. And I think I read it right, because listen to what the father says later in the same story. In Luke 15:24, don't turn there. It says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So there's something about being alive that is connected to, I think, connected to being connected to the Creator, and there's something about being dead, unalive, that is separate from the Creator, sin. So where are we going with this? We will finish soon, and we will get to a Bible, to some scripture. Well, I think if we described what many of these high points of feeling alive are, we might call it some kind of an adventure. Whether really short or long, they're still moments of adventure. Life is an adventure. A good story is an adventure. You might say that the history of the human race is an adventure. It is something of an adventure for God. Faith is an adventure. We can say that life is an adventure for everyone, but when you reconnect to the Creator, faith becomes an adventure because you're joining with the Creator. And an adventure, a lot of things happen on an adventure. What happens on an adventure? How many have been on an adventure? Well, you are on one, whether you know it or not. What happens on an adventure? Well, most of the time it's tedious work. And most of the time you suffer from getting close to boredom. And having to overcome trivial things and sometimes painful things, you don't know what's going to come, and you have to overcome these. And why are we doing this again? Why are we on this adventure? You ask that question. Just exactly what is it? We're doing all this because we might have a 2-second rush of excitement at the end of the adventure? Well, in any case, people like to go on adventures, and they're willing to put up with a lot of pain and trouble to go on an adventure. A lot of boredom, something mundane, bothersome, and yet we embrace it. We go. We say yes. Well, I'm going to suggest something that lines up with an adventure. Margaret and I have been on a 40-year adventure together with our marriage, with building a family. And it's been exciting. There have been high points. There have been low points. And mostly there have just been humdrum nothing points. And yet, what's our response? Have we enjoyed it? Would we look back and say, it's been wonderful? She nodded. That was a good sign. Yes, it's been wonderful. All the day in, day out humdrum. Okay, well, let me read a few scriptures, and then we're going to finish up with one long scripture that I want you to share in. It's also an adventure to read a concordance. So 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank God always for you. Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease thanking the Lord for you. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we thank the Lord without ceasing. Adialiptos. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we have an obligation to give thanks to God always for you. And then, of course, if there is anything that sums all of this up, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. En pandi evcharistite. In everything, we give thanks to God. Now, I listed all of those things, high points, low points, and I can't possibly fill in all of the humdrum points, but in everything, give thanks to God. The thing that makes this truly an adventure is when you can put your hand with the Lord who has loved you and has redeemed you, and you walk with Him. Whatever it takes, wherever you go, and I cannot tell you where you're going to go. Oh, that reminded me of that movie. There will be obstacles. Faith is an adventure. So our response and the thing that brings us into that adventure and that lets us enjoy all of these high points is to enjoy them with the Lord, to thank the Lord and to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you this week for healing the sore throat. And if you hadn't healed the sore throat, I thank you anyway. That's the attitude we need. Now, I'm going to read from Kohelet, where I also had to talk on Kohelet this week, only I didn't talk on Kohelet, I talked about some song. But I'd like to shift to Kohelet chapter 3 and just read through some things. And as I read each point, I want you to think. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Ecclesiastes. What else would it be called? Kohelet. Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 3, and there's a little, each unit comes with two lines, and each line has two pieces to it. So there's like four pieces that are in a unit. Sometimes the beginning part's stronger, and the last half is a little bit weaker. Sometimes it's the other way around. But it describes things in life. And I don't know. I certainly know that not everything in this list is going to be good, but we can still thank the Lord. In the list, for instance, there are some bad things, evil things. There is killing. There's war. And I know that after World War II, people all over the world felt wonderful. They were thankful that it was over. I'm not sure they were thankful for the war while it was taking place. Anyway, as I read these, let the Lord speak to you and thank Him for where He takes you and how He gets you over the thing that may be related with this. So there's a time to give birth, and there's a time to die. There is a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time for tearing apart and there's a time for building. There's a time to cry and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. This is walking a life of adventure. There's a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now, those all go together, and you probably don't know what they're referring to, but they're probably talking about a man and a woman enjoying each other. Anyway, there is a time to seek out, and there's a time to lose. There's a time to preserve and a time to throw away. There's a time to rip. There's a time to sow. There's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There are things I hate. And I hate terrorism and murder. It's not wrong to hate that. God hates sin. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. So, the walk with the Lord is not known. Our futures are not known. But they are an adventure, and the Lord does promise to be with us. He does promise that we will be alive. And those times when we don't feel alive, He will take us through them, and He will be our life. So, for those on the adventure, you may have thought of things that you can thank the Lord for. He would like to hear you say, thank you. Lord, you've brought me here. He's brought all of us right here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here as the Passover prayer, for bringing us to this day, bringing us to this moment, Lord. We thank you. And for those that reconnect with their Creator, that thank the Lord for His adventure. He sent Jesus Christ to die for the whole world and, of all things, to defeat death. Imagine that. To defeat death with life. Now that's adventure about as big as it gets. And imagine joining into that program to be part of that adventure. The defeat of death. Tying in with the victor over death and being able to walk an adventure of faith with He who controls the keys of death. It doesn't get any more adventurous than that. So with that, I would like to close to invite everybody to thank God for their adventure and to, by faith, put their hand in the Lord's hand and to walk in faith with that statement, Lord, I'm going to follow you. We're on an adventure together, and we're going to defeat death. We will defeat death. I don't know how and when, but I'm joined to the guy that has defeated death. We just read about it after the resurrection. And for 40 days he taught about the kingdom of heaven and ascended. And he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that adventure has been going on for 2,000 years. So with that, I'm going to close and ask, could you write a song called, Lord, thank you for the adventure. But you've got another one, right?
Whatever you want.
The follow, does that work?
Follow.
Okay, so I'm going to get off the front stage. Did you want to be up on the front stage to say, because you often bring out the main point nicely. Close? I don't know how to close. But anyway, we're going to sing in closing. We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And we don't know where that's going. It is an adventure. It is life. Amen. Amen. Shavua Tov.